Nicely with Martin Bester.
Whether you like it or not, COVID's back on our radar for sure. Every second person you bump into either thinks they have it or had it or going to test to see if they've got it. And of course, everybody walking around who has anything really, sniffle, stomach ache, you know, also that comes back into conversation. And then, of course, there's social media that just... I mean, there's always some reports. You just don't know what to believe, especially when it comes to the vaccines and all that. I always say, ask the experts. And one of those experts for sure on the line this morning, Professor Helen Rees, international vaccine expert, a busy woman. Thanks for your time, Professor. Good morning.
Good morning, Martin. Thanks for having me.
Professor, I want to get jump right into it. What are we dealing with here? What is the latest variant? What are the symptoms? And how serious is it?
We are looking at numbers that are increasing, and the minister will decide whether we've gone into a fifth wave. But I think looking at the numbers, I would suspect that we are now in a fifth wave. The increasing numbers on a daily basis have gone up, and we're now at a point where we've got more than 6,000 cases a day. So I think that we're in the fifth wave. And in terms of what is it that's causing this, it is Omicron, but it's what we call a subvariant. Two subvariants we're seeing around the country, BA4 and BA5, and they're different to the original Omicron, sufficiently different that they're able to cause infections, even if you had the original Omicron infection.
Yeah. How soon after?
Well, if you have an infection, your immune system, the protection you get from it wanes, 4 or 5 months. It's one of the reasons why, the same with vaccines, it's one of the reasons that we're saying even if you had your two doses of vaccine as a primary dose, couple of doses, we want you to get a booster. So either way, we want everyone now who's had two doses of vaccines in the first place to get a booster dose because we do know that the immune response, gets weaker over time.
Sure.
And that booster gives a very good sort of boost to the protection, as it says in the word.
And are the two infections, or the infections from the two subvariants, are they different?
In terms of what we see clinically, no, it's the same thing. We're seeing very similar symptoms. And so, no, they're not different in terms of what effect they have on you.
And what are those effects? What are those symptoms?
It's very similar to what we've seen before. A lot of people will be asymptomatic. They won't have symptoms. Some people will have mild flu-like symptoms, aches and pains, cough, headache, just feeling really, low, low energy, exactly the same as we've seen before. If you have particularly cough, running nose, aches and pains, it could be influenza. There's also influenza around, but it could be COVID. So we're still encouraging people to get tested and to isolate. If they have symptoms.
Just talking about the second booster dose, there's a question that came in on that.
I've received one of my two Pfizer vaccines, but this was in October and unfortunately just didn't get to it. I should have taken responsibility. Must I now get both the 6 weeks apart, or if I get the second dose now, would it still count as the second dose? Please let me know. Thank you.
Yes, it's a good question. And yes, if you've had a single dose, anyone out there has had a single dose of J&J or a single dose of Pfizer, doesn't matter how long ago it was, go and get that second dose. For those who've had two doses, go and get your third dose. Many people now, those two doses, they'll have had them about 4 or 5 months ago, and this is a good time then to get the booster dose. So the answer is yes, if you've had a single dose, go and get your second dose, and that's your second dose of vaccine. And in the future, you can have, again, a booster dose.
And I mentioned that just now on social media and in the media, you see a lot of articles, especially about the vaccines. Most recent one I saw about the J&J vaccine relating to blood clots. Another question regarding that came in.
I need to ask a question about something that I read on Friday, that the USA is stopping all Johnson & Johnsons and actually prohibiting them because they... causing blood clots. A lot of us have heard that right from the beginning when it started, but now actually they're prohibiting the Johnson & Johnson one. Is that true? And why do they only find out that now?
So with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, with all new vaccines, we watch very, very closely for side effects. Because even with big, big clinical trials with tens of thousands of people, you're not necessarily going to pick up a side effect that's incredibly rare. For that, you have to introduce the vaccine, roll it out to millions of people, and then monitor. And this particular side effect we call TTS, but it's a condition in which you get clotting. And it's extremely rare, but it definitely occurs, but rarely, rarely so. Within the first 2 weeks, usually after that J&J vaccine. So what the FDA are saying is that they think that if you have, and now we've got access to other vaccines, that they would then say, unless you haven't got access to that vaccine, or you can't have the other vaccine for any reason, then preferentially go to that other vaccine. But I think we must just remember, with these rare side effects we see with these vaccines, that if you compare those side effects and how frequently they occur, and the severity, and you look at what happens with COVID disease, we now know that 16 million people around the world have died from COVID disease, which is higher than we had thought. We thought it was about a third of those numbers, but when you actually look at what they call excess deaths, the deaths in addition to what we would normally have expected, it's 16 million people. That, compared to any really rare side effect that you might get with any of the vaccines, is just, there's no proportion. You do not want to get COVID.
Sure. Are we far along now enough to make certain conclusions regarding the vaccines? Could you tell us now, after the trials, after more than 2 years, this vaccine is more effective than that vaccine? And with that question, in your view, which is the one to get?
Yeah, we do have now a growing amount of evidence for effectiveness and how they protect. The good news is that just about every vaccine that the WHO, for example, has recognized, any more than we have in this country, they all protect against severe disease and hospitalization. So, I mean, that's really good news. But the range of protection against symptomatic infection really does vary somewhat, and the protection over time does vary. So the vaccines that we've been using, both J&J and the Pfizer vaccine, they're two different what we call vaccine platforms, so they're made with different ingredients. They're both highly effective at preventing severe disease and hospitalization. At the moment, these what's called the mRNA vaccines are probably slightly more effective, but we don't know over time which vaccine is going to give more protection over time. So either of those vaccines, if you've had J&J or you've had Pfizer, you're going to be well protected, but as long as you get that booster. The booster is now the important thing to get. And the second dose, and the first dose. For those who haven't had a first dose, that first dose is the best dose because it gives you a huge kick to your immunity, even if you've had COVID. Don't assume if you've had COVID that you're protected. That protection wanes.
Just a question here about the long-term effects, especially when it comes to taste and smell.
Ek het laas jaar my COVID gehad, nogals erg. My smaak en reuk glad nie terug. So ek wil graag weet hoe lang vat ek. Nou presies basies 'n jaar. Nik smaak of nik reuk nie. En dit is nogals irriterend.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, so I think it's also raising a very important thing that people haven't realized. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, if this is not going to be a severe infection, let's just forget everything and go about our business completely normally. And the answer is that's not the case. Taste and smell from the earlier variants, we don't see it so much in Omicron, interestingly, but taste and smell were significantly affected. Hearing has been affected in some people. Some people have got ringing in the ears. And some people have this residual, what we're starting to see, is symptoms of long COVID. Depending on what studies you look at, as many as 1 in 4 people still have symptoms after 4 weeks after they started getting an infection. And we do not know yet what the long-term effect of COVID could be on really important parts of your body, like your heart, your brain, and your endocrine system, things like diabetes, could it increase it? So that's the other reason why people mustn't take this lightly and must get vaccinated and continue to be cautious. And that's because of long COVID, these residual symptoms that don't get better and indeed can potentially cause long-term damage.
I know you're running out of time, but a quick question just about kids' vaccines.
Good morning. Hope you're all well. I just wanted to find out, with adults getting boosters, etc., and the changes in the strains, what's happening to the kids 12 and under and their first vaccines? When will we be able to take them for vaccines?
Yes, this is being looked at the moment by the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Vaccines. They're looking at the data there. But what in order to be able to give the children vaccines, a vaccine manufacturer has to have the clinical data, and there's growing clinical data on giving vaccines to the under-12s now. They have to present it to SAHPRA, which is the regulatory authority, and SAHPRA will review it. So at the moment, in South Africa, we don't have we haven't yet got a vaccine available, and the MAC is looking at all of the data that's available on this and looking hard at it. The good news in that age group is that they don't get such severe disease. Many households, the person who brings the COVID into the household is the child, but often they don't get such severe disease. They'll get, you know, either asymptomatic or coughs, running nose, that sort of symptom. And that's why the urgency and the pressure for vaccination is really still focused on the over 60s, because it's the older people who are getting the severe disease, and the people with comorbidities who've got heart problems or diabetes or living with HIV. Those are the people most at risk of very severe disease, and that's where the focus still remains.
Severe disease and hospitalization does seem to be down, though. I mean, with this, is it a variant thing, or is it the fact that a lot of people are vaccinated?
It's good point. It's probably a combination of both. But certainly this variant, we're not seeing the increase in hospital. There is a little bit of an uptick, but we haven't seen an increase in deaths, which is very reassuring. And we haven't seen that huge increase in hospitalization we saw, for example, with Delta. So it's definitely these covariants, these subvariants, rather, that we've got now of Omicron appear not to be giving such severe disease. But it's also because we have got vaccination at least to nearly half of our community, and other people have had natural infections. So there's a baseline of protection there as well. And so there are fewer people who are not protected in any way that the virus can seek out.
And just lastly, are there variants other parts of the world that we should be keeping our eye on?
Yes, there are variants, including of Omicron, in a number of places. For example, in the United States, there's a different variant of Omicron, and they're also seeing an increase in cases. But just generally speaking, that what we've seen with COVID and the SARS-CoV-2 virus generally is that it's very good at changing itself. And that's why we're having these dips and then waves. So you see about a three-month gap, and then numbers come up again, because what the virus is doing is that it's circulating in people who are still vulnerable, and as it does that, it adapts so that its own survival is improved. So it adapts in ways that might make it more transmissible, so that it's easier to spread from one person to another, for example. So yeah, the answer is yes, there are different variants around the world, and they're changing all the time, and some of them just never take off. And a few of them will take off, as we've seen with Omicron.
Sneaky, resilient little virus, eh?
Yep, unfortunately.
Professor Helen Rees, thanks for your time. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks.
Thank you, Professor. Bye-bye.
Bye.
International vaccine expert there, Professor Helen Rees. Based here in Johannesburg in South Africa. Thanks for your questions coming through. We'll definitely get on, you know, soon again. I always say, and you're going to read about it. Articles are going to pop up in your timeline about it, about vaccines. And a lot of people are, you know, it can bother you, it can upset you. Rather ask the experts about it and, you know, get the best chance of having it answered.
Let's go! Breakfast with Martin Bester.
Rise and shine.
Hit your morning, family.